Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, hey, you made it. So good to see you here in the room. I want to give a shout out to everybody watching online as well. Welcome to part two of our series called Stress Out. And it's real simple, and just if you're brand new today, that we're trying to go from stressed out to getting all that stress out. Can I get an amen in God's house? Can I get amen in God's house? Like, help me out. Let's be friends today. And so if you got a copy of God's word, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. Also for our note takers, we've got Heaven Full notebooks. Use that today for taking notes. If you're brand new or you missed one, they're free in the back as well. But we're actually going to be in two places in God's word. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. And then we're going to quickly move to Luke chapter 6. Now, what we're going to read is not two different passages. In fact, it's the same story, same illustration or parable, but just a different kind of vantage point or a couple of different details between the two. So Matthew 7, verse 24, and then we're going to move to Luke chapter 6. Here's what Matthew 7, 24 says, is the NIV. This is a story from Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus speaking, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now turn to Luke chapter 6, if you're quick in your Bible, two books to the right. This is Luke's version of the same parable, and I'm going to read this out of the Message paraphrase. This is language that's more like we would use today. Starting in verse 46, Luke chapter 6, Jesus asked them a question, and Jesus is in your face, in their face with this question. He's not sugarcoating anything. Here's what he says. Why are you so polite with me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you? Jesus is like, why you amening me during the message, but you don't live any different after the message? These words I speak to you, Jesus says, they're not mere additions to your life. You're not like changing out the flooring in your house or picking a new color of paint on the walls. Jesus is like, no. These aren't homeowner improvements to your standard of living. Instead, they are foundation words. Can somebody shout foundation? Can somebody shout foundation? These are foundation words, words to build your life on. If you work the words into your life, I love that phrasing out of the Message paraphrase. If you work the words into your life, you're smart. You're like that carpenter who dug deep. We're going to talk about that at the end. Who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks, notice it's not if, it's when. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. Don't you want that kind of life, friend? Nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. Like, you focus on the chandelier and the color of your walls, but you forgot the most important part, Jesus says. And then when the swollen river came crashing in, your house collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Same story, slight differences. For those taking notes, I'm calling part two of this series Castle Rock. Would you write that down if you're taking notes? Castle Rock. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you so much, and And we thank you for what you did in first service. We thank you for what you're doing now in this service, not just in this room, but online in many rooms, in our kids' classrooms as well. We don't do childcare around here. They're learning the word of God. They're leaning into the word of God. And we just pray, God, for us, no one else but us, that you would help us to hear a very familiar story to many, but to hear it with a fresh heart, to see it with fresh eyes, to take this message and not just read the word, but ask the word to read us, to apply it to our lives. We love you so much. I pray for the first time guests and those that have been part of the church for a long time and everywhere in between, that we would all leave this service better than how we were before we came in because we met with you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As most know, and like I said earlier, this story is probably one of the most famous, if not the most famous, parable or story that Jesus ever told in the Bible. And it's interesting because Jesus, the expert evangelist that he was, we see here in Matthew's gospel account and also Luke's gospel account that he tells the same story, but he highlights a different detail. Now maybe this was the same story at one time, and Matthew and Luke chose to highlight a different detail, but regardless, good evangelists, they would do this type of thing. They would use this type of tactic. In fact, if you're an evangelist, you usually got like three messages, friend, and you preach that message over and over again. You got the same story. Sometimes you highlight a different part of that story, but Jesus, the genius of Jesus, he's got this same simple story. He slightly changes it, and we can learn something different from both stories. In fact, Matthew's gospel account, it focuses on the good, wise builder choosing to build on the site of rock. But then there's also the foolish builder, which none of us want to be, right? That chooses the site of sand. But in Luke's gospel account, check this out. It's very, very minor, but very, very profound. In Luke's gospel account, he chooses to focus on the how. Matthew focuses on the what? On rock, on sand. But Luke focuses on the how. Like, how are you going to build your foundation? So today I don't got a lot of points. I just got two. Obviously, I've got some object illustrations because I know you're just like me and I can't even remember some of my own messages from back in the day, okay? So I'm not expecting you to remember my messages, but hopefully one of these illustrations will help something stick and stay in your heart. But today I got two things. If you're taking notes, get ready. But two things from these same story, different gospel accounts that I want to get deep down into your soul as we face the amazing, incredible, not in a good way, stress that we all face this year in 2020. Here's the first thing if you're taking notes. Number one, we find out this, that what you build will be revealed. I'm going to say that again. What you build, so not what I build for you, what you build for yourself, it will be revealed. This is so interesting. Jesus looks at the crowd that's like amening him and cheering him on. And he had crowds everywhere. He would try to lose the crowds. They'd figure out where he was. There was no GPS back then. There was no social media back then. But still, they would find him. And Jesus tells the crowd this, and he's telling you today, that I love it. Like when you amen, I love it when you're like, yes, that's good, or yes, that's awesome. What a powerful teaching. But Jesus is telling you this, that you don't just want to amen during the message, but you've actually got to start living out the message. Like Jesus is like, man, it's so awesome that you find me wherever I go. And you're like, man, that was such a powerful word. I mean, the authority that you have, you're just a carpenter, but man, it's so good. Jesus is like, that's great. But when I stop talking, the message actually starts for you. That's what Jesus is saying here, friend. Jesus is saying that when the dismissal comes at the end of the service, it's your turn to finish the message that you just heard preached. Jesus is like, you've got to not just listen to what I have to say. It's about time that your Monday through Saturday looks different. It's about time that you put into practice what I've been teaching you. And so let's just get really practical from the very beginning of this message. If you want to be mature in your faith, if you want to be a wise builder, if you want to be somebody and like, I choose the right site, like this is important to me. If that's important to you, it's not about how deep you think the message is or isn't. It's how deep you place it into your heart. It's how much you live that out Monday through Saturday. In fact, I'm just going to make it as clear as I can. And I hope you'll write this down if you want to be deep, if you want to be a mature believer. At the end of every service, whenever we're leading people to know Jesus, we'll do it again in this service. We do it every single service. That if you're already a follower of Jesus, you should ask yourself this question every single Sunday. And really, you're not asking you, you're asking God, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? If I want to be a mature believer, I'm writing that down at every single altar call at the end of the message. I'm asking the Holy Spirit that question. And here's what's so cool about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, you know what? It was point number one for you. It was point number two. Like sometimes he'll say that, but other times he'll say, you know what? The pastor didn't even mention this, but this is what I'm saying to you. You know, he didn't even talk about this subject, but this is where I'm leading you. And so if you want maturity, it's not me giving you new information. In fact, the message today, it's a little bit of new information, but not a lot. Being deep. Oh, I just want to get deep, pastor. I just want to be deep. I hear that all. Let's go deep. If you want to be deep, Jesus says, live out what you heard last Sunday. Yeah. I heard a couple amens, but we're going to get there today, all right? I know I'm in your business, but help your friend out. I love what one Bible commentary said about this. This is so good. A biblical text is not really understood until it's applied. That's so true. Like, you don't get it. You can tell me you get it, but until you're living it, you don't get it. Until you live it out, like when I'm not there, when the church has no idea, like you don't get it. You don't understand it. You got to live this out, Jesus says. Don't just say, yes, sir, that's good, sir. Preach it, white boy, you know, all that kind of stuff. No. You need to live it out. Live it out. But here's what's happened in this present time, and we're not picking on other churches, let's pick on us for a moment. Here's what's happened, is so often we have mistaken, instead of building our life on solid rock, instead of building our life using real bricks, applying the word of God to our Monday through Saturday, we've given in for a counterfeit. Foundation. It looks similar, but it's not real. It's fake. It's a facade. People may even cheer it. Oh, look how great they're doing. But it will not hold up to the storms of life. In fact, I kind of describe it this way, that God's called us to build our life on a castle rock, the title of the message. But so often we give in for the quick build of a sandcastle. And it looks pretty. It takes a little bit of work. But how many of y'all know sandcastles don't last forever? In fact, they don't make it one day. When the tide comes in, like all that work you spent, it doesn't last. And so I wrote down, just trying to get real practical, not new information, just giving you some tools to live out the information you already know. But I wrote down three sandcastles that people that I know, I'm not talking about other churches, let's pick on us. People that I know, they struggle with. That instead of building their life upon the rock, the word, they build their life with a sandcastle kind of, just all this stuff that just doesn't really last. And so I wrote down three things, and if you're taking notes, you'll write these down too. I don't have a slide for this. But the first sandcastle that a lot of people build their life on is the sandcastle of self. I hope you'll write that down, and I hope you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. The sandcastle of self. And many people, again, not picking on anybody else but us, many people we've built our life on ourselves. What we can accomplish, what we can do, like on our merit, on our good works. Like y'all know, we're just funny. Like we'll give $5 to a homeless person on a street corner and feel like we're now generous, right? And it just, the guilt that we feel because we're not really generous, the guilt we feel, it fades away for a moment. It's a facade. You know, it's like yeah, I serve. You know, like, I serve. And so because I serve, you know, I'm a good person and I'm nice to people. Not that person who cut me off on 290, but other people I'm nice to, pastor. And so we just build our life on like what we do or don't do, what we think we've earned or haven't earned. But it's a facade. It's not real. Jesus would say to you, it doesn't hold up when, not if, when the storms come. Here's another one I wrote down, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict some of us. Hey, that's your struggle. But the big one here is culture. Culture, it's another sandcastle. It's a facade. What is this? Like, this is big right now. And it's not just a young person problem. It's an everybody problem. But so many people, they build their life on what culture tells them is right. Can I tell you one of the big ones? And I hope we could still be friends afterwards. But one of the big ones in 2020 is, you know, that's your truth, but not my truth. You just live your truth. I'm going to live my truth. Like, y'all heard that one, right? In fact, some of you have said that. Like, I'm just going to live my truth. I'm just going to be me, Pastor. I'm just going to do me, Pastor. And we build our life on culture or whatever the news tells us, because the news always tells the truth, right? like whatever politics says, politicians. We build our life on culture and worldly things, money. Like, I don't know anybody in this room that doesn't want more money. Like we want more money. But what happens, the problem is that we begin to try to build our life on money. We build our life on our career, our schooling, right? Like, it's just this culture that, man, and here's what happens. We are cheered by others when we build our life on culture. But you're going to see, if you haven't already learned, you probably already learned this year, that it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Here's the last one. I could have listed so many, but the three I wanted us to focus on today, and this is probably the biggest one. This is a sandcastle of others. Others. And again, we're not picking on anybody else but ourselves. But so often, we build our life on good things that we end up turning into God. Here's what I mean. Think about a marriage relationship. I've been married for many years, and I love my wife. In fact, those of you that know my story, we dated long distance the entire time that we dated. I flew a long ways to get to her. I got off the airplane years ago. I saw her, and I was like, I want you. Like, you are mine. Now, it took her a lot longer to figure out that I was the one for her. But still, she got there, okay? But, like, I love my wife. If you know my wife, she is definitely the better half, okay, of our marriage. Like she's awesome. But here's the deal. You can't take a good thing and make them God. Even though my wife is awesome, she is a terrible God. I want you to understand that. I don't bow down and worship her, and you don't bow down and worship your spouse. I get that. But when you place them at the center of your life, when you place them at the center, the foundation of your life, you are putting them in a place they were never meant to be. In fact, I'll tell you this. I do not have, my wife's name's Isabel. I do not have an Isabel-shaped hole in my heart. I have a God-shaped hole in my heart. And what happens, hear me, the Holy Spirit's convicting some married folks here in this room. What happens is we take a good thing and we build our life on that good thing and we turn them into a little g God, and we wonder why our life is falling apart. We wonder. Like why? It's because you put that person, that spouse, at the center of your life. We do this with our kids. Grandkids all the time, like all the time. like all the time, man. It's just crazy. So we've got three kids, and you can see the illustration before this of why we have three kids, because I love my wife, okay? So we have three kids, all right? So understand. So we got three kids, and our kids are getting older now, and they're still very young, but they're starting to get older, and it's just crazy how your kids, if you're not careful, they can take over your life. Like, they are cute, and they are sweet, and at the age that mine are, they are cuddly, and they get excited when dad comes home. I know that may change in the future, but I'm soaking it up right now, okay? And even though they're young, they're getting older. So, for example, my son, our oldest, he's 7 years old. We got him in baseball again. He's seven, second grade, in baseball again, and literally, they have like three or four practices and games every week. Like, to you, you're like, oh, that's nothing. My son's in T-ball, and my daughter's in gymnastics, and I got this and that. I'm just talking about one sport. What are you saying, Pastor? If we're not careful, it will take over our lives. For real. And some of you are so stressed out. I wonder why. Because on Monday, you got baseball. On Tuesday, you got gymnastics. On Wednesday, you got Bible study. On Thursday, you got piano. On Friday, you're supposed to have a family night, but it's been a long time since your last family night. You see what I'm saying? And you're like, why am I so stressed? Because you have built your life on others instead of God. And so you got two foundations here. It's really simple. I get it, but I just want you to live it out. I just want you to live it out, and I hope this will stick with you. I got power tools up here, y'all. Like, I'm having a good Sunday, even if you're not, all right? And so we got the weak foundation, and we got bricks. Foundation built on the word of God. And what did Jesus say? Hey, storms are going to come. It's going to happen. Don't be shocked. Now, what is shocking is that 2020 has been so bad that now it's considered a verb. Did y'all realize that? Like, if something really bad happens, now people are saying, man, that's so 2020. That's so 2020. Like, when has a year ever been like that? But that's the year that we're in, and we still got more months left over. But when the storms come, even if it's not very big, what happens? This is on low. It crumbles. But when the storm gets really bad, what happens? If your life is built on the rock, if your life is built on the word of God, it will stand. I can leave it here all day. It's not going anywhere, friend. So what have you built your life on? Like, people will cheer you. Oh, they love their kids so much. Oh, they sacrifice so much for the kids. People will applaud you. Now, they don't know that your marriage is falling apart because your kid is the CEO and you're not the CEO. But, like, they'll applaud you. Oh, that's so great. Oh, they love their spouse so much. Love your spouse, love your kids. I love my wife, I love my children, but they are not my God. They're not my God. And so often we get things mixed up, and that's why Jesus told this story over and over and over again. And so God's calling you, trade in your sandcastles. Like, trade them in today, and instead build your castle on the rock. Here's the second thing, number two. I hope you'll write this down. Digging determines destiny. Digging determines destiny. This is what Jesus highlights in Luke's gospel account. Digging determines destiny. Here's what's interesting about being married. And y'all know this. Godly marriages don't build themselves, right? Like godly marriages don't happen by accident. How many have kids? Know this one, that godly kids don't raise themselves, right? Like, it's not just, oh, they got so lucky. They got the right kids. Ask them about their kids. Their kids got some issues too, okay? It takes work. It takes effort. Digging determines destiny. If you don't like where you're headed, I wonder, have you not been digging? If you don't like how your family's going, I wonder, have you not been digging? Jesus is like, you've got to roll up your sleeves and it's time to get to work. And I wonder if you ever dug ditches for a summer like I have. Like it is hard work digging ditches. And it's so hard. But Jesus is like, the wise carpenter got to digging. The foolish one, it'll take care of itself. We'll figure it out. Man, I really like that wall color. Really like that place setting. Oh, it's awesome. What did Jesus say? That carpenter's dumb. Can I remind you that like Jesus was a carpenter by trade? He didn't have like lotioned up, you know, hands, like his hands were worn, they were calloused. Jesus wasn't hanging out at Pottery Barn, he was hanging out at Home Depot, okay? Like that's Jesus. Jesus knew what he was talking about. In fact, this is maybe the only new information. Jesus, like everybody else in this area, they knew a lot about their surroundings. And so Jesus knew specifically around the Sea of Galilee. He did a lot of ministry there. But Jesus knew that in the summer months, the sand would harden to the point to somebody from the outside would look at that sand and think it's bedrock. And so that carpenter would start building. Quick fix. Hey, we got to get this house in. Like, we want to be on the beach. We want to play. We want to build sandcastles. Like, let's just get this thing. Like, let's just go. And Jesus knew that wise builders, wise carpenters, during the summer months, they would dig. In fact, scholars believe that in that area back then, oftentimes you had to dig at least 10 feet. To get to the bedrock. That's a deep hole. They did not have heavy machinery back then, okay? Like that's by hand or small tools, at least 10 feet. And so what would happen is you'd have men and women that would build houses far too quickly, would mistake the sand as bedrock. They would erect their home. They would party. They would have fun. But when winter comes around the Sea of Galilee, that's when the storms come. And even though it was great for a while, and even though it stood tall for a while, when winter came, those homes did not make it. So some of you are so confused. Like, why am I so stressed out? Why is everything falling apart? Maybe the problem's not on God. Maybe the problem's on you. Maybe you went for the quick fix. Maybe you went for the build with no depth. And Jesus is like, if you want to go deep in your faith, obey the last thing I told you. If you want to go deep, it's not new information. Like I'm not trying to wow you up here. You're like, you're doing a good job, Pastor. Thanks. Appreciate your ministry. But like, I'm not trying to wow you. I'm not trying to perform. I just want to give you practical handles where you can live out what God's already spoken to you. So I want to show you one last illustration quickly, and then we're going to shut this thing down. And again, you may forget this message, but maybe you'll remember one of these illustrations. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in fact, could you put the verse on the screen for those of us here in the room? Very familiar verse, just like a very familiar story we've been talking about. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I want you to see this with fresh eyes. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. He's saying, seek me first. And I want you to notice something. People, they get that, but they don't get what follows. Jesus here in this passage is talking about priorities. He's talking about order. You see, the order is important. Jesus says, seek me first, and then you'll get everything else. Do you notice that? Seek me first, and then. Jesus is not saying you can't have it. He's saying you got to get the order right. You got to have the right priorities. In fact, I'll tell you this. Order determines capacity. I've got here two glass jars. They're exact same size. Some little rocks, some big rocks. And what happens, unfortunately, and I see it all the time, what happens, unfortunately, is we take care of the little things first, and then we try to fit God in. Can we just be honest? The games for the kids, the practices, the recitals, work stuff, friends. I mean, all these things. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's not most important. What did God say? God is most important. And so what we do, unfortunately, because we all have a limited capacity, like we're limited. What happens is we fill our lives up each month with all the little things. Got to go here, got to do this, got to pay that. And we fill our life up with the little things first. And then we try to fit God in. Big rocks, God matters. Well, if I got room this month, then I'm going to try to fit God in. It's not that great, but kind of in there. Well, I took care of everything else, and so now I'm going to try to tithe, and now I'm going to try to get that fit in, and that fit okay. And, you know, my legacy, I want to live a life that outlives me, and I don't just want to take up space. Like, I want to make a difference. And so if I have room, I'll try. And we try to fit in these big rocks, but they don't fit so well because we've done the little things first. And so that's why we attend church this month, but not next month. Because it fit this month. It didn't fit. Won't fit next month. It's why we tithe some months and don't tithe other months, because we do the little things first and we try to jam these rocks in and they just don't fit and we're limited. We've only got a certain amount. And Jesus says, it's all about your priorities. It's all about the order. Are you going to put me first or are you going to try to fit me in? Because sometimes you'll fit me in, but let's be real. Let's say it like it is. Other times we don't fit him in. Man, how does he know? Holy Spirit's convicting some people right now. And so instead, real simple illustration, I hope it will stick with you. Instead, we should put God first. Instead, we should have the right order, because order determines capacity. And God matters. Legacy matters. The kingdom of God, not our sandcastles we build, castles built on the rock, they matter. In fact, Dante, would you help me out, my friend? Like, I could do it with a handle. I can't do it without a handle, y'all. Like, I'm trying to work out. Anyways, help me out, Dante. Swing over here. And so what we should do, go ahead and begin to pour it in, is we should get the big rocks in first. That God, I'm going to put you first. God, I'm going to trust you. God, you're all that matters. You're at the center of my life. And as you put God first, and as you focus on the kingdom first, and as you surrender your life to God, do you notice something? That it all fits? It all fits. And even though it didn't fit before, same glass vase, same exact size, even though it didn't fit before and things were laying on top and it was almost there, but it wasn't quite there, it all fit if you get it in the right order. So I wonder today, the message is over. For me, not for you. I wonder, will you apply it to your life? You can frown at me if you want to. Trust me, some of you are. I can see your faces. And you could say it's too simple, but are you living it? Jesus is like, stop amening me if you're not going to live it out. And so maybe you could handle more than you think you can handle if you put God first. Maybe you could afford to tithe if you trusted God first and didn't give him leftovers. Maybe you could afford to serve if you cut out some things. I'll talk about us for a second because I alluded to that earlier. My son ain't going to 3 or 4 different things every single week. Like he ain't trying to go to the big leagues, y'all. He's focused on chewing big league chew gum. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the good stuff. Sour grape flavor. That's what he gets excited about. He can miss a practice. It's going to be okay. Where's your priorities? Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for my friends. I pray, God, that that we would not only seek new information, but God, we would apply your word to our lives. That we wouldn't just read your word, but we'd ask your word to read us. In fact, if I'm a follower of Jesus and I want to go deep, right now I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? What are you revealing? The storms of 2020, they don't develop character, they reveal character. What are you saying to us, Holy Spirit? Help us to build our life on the rock. Help us to be willing to put some effort. Our effort does not save us. What you've done on the cross, God, that's what saves us. But once we surrender our life to you, it's our turn to live out what you've already done. To apply this message or any message that we ever hear to our lives. Our church family hears me say this all the time, and you've been ready for it all service long. I'm going to say it right now. If the Sunday doesn't change the Monday, the Sunday doesn't count. We're just wasting our time. But I pray, God, that instead of being just hearers only, as James says, that we would be doers of the word. That we would live it out. And I pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice, anybody watching online that's far from you, I pray right now we would surrender our life. We're getting ready to celebrate with those going public with their faith and water baptism. But I pray right now for anyone. Maybe you're even watching this months later on YouTube, on demand. And you're like, man, Pastor, I'm far from God. This is your moment to get your life right with Jesus. Like at some point, it's got to be more than lip service, friend. I'm going to live my life devoted to God. So every eye closed, if that's you, you're far from the Lord, but you want to surrender your life to him. Right now, you can talk with the Lord. You can whisper to him. I'll give you some words that you can say to him. He hears you. You're not talking to yourself. You can whisper to him right now and tell him things like this. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I put my faith in you. I pray you help set my feet upon a rock. I build my life from now on, from this day forward around you. You can talk to him, friend. You can tell him things like that. Even now you can ask him, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I put my trust in you. I surrender all. I no longer will build my life on self or culture or others, but I will build my life on you and your word. I will put you first. I will put you first. Thank you for speaking to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.